Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you take your Bibles and turn to that, we will read the first 10 verses. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, first 10 verses. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest or relief with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to our hearts as we turn to him now in prayer just before we look into God's word. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can be here today. We thank you for this place, that you continue to provide and care for. We thank you for those who are a part of our church. We thank you for the leadership. And I ask that you would especially just be with each of the men that have that special responsibility. I pray, Lord, that you would keep our hearts what they ought to be before you. May we entertain nothing in our hearts and lives that is dishonoring to you. I pray, Lord, that you would be able to bless this church. I pray, Lord, that we would not overlook things that are not right in your sight, that we would not just excuse error, sin, but that we would be faithful, true to you, and that you would do your work mightily in this community through this place. We thank you that these are here today, that you made it possible for each one to come. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in this gathering. We trust you have been pleased with the time already spent here, and especially what's ahead, as we open your word and look specifically into it. I pray, Lord, in your Holy Spirit, we have the freedom to speak to our hearts what we stand in need of. And I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, that I would follow the leading of the Spirit, to say what ought to be said and to not say what ought not to be said. We thank you, Father, that you have provided this place for us. We thank you for each one that made the choice to be here today. We thank you for blessings on some of our church family this past week. We especially think of Matt and Joanna and little Arna. We ask, Lord, that you would just bless all of the newness. We can relate to Matt and Joanna, first-time parents. There are so many things that are new, never had before. And we pray that according to your will, they, mother and daughter, might even be able to get to come home today. And the growing process might begin at home without any kinds of complications, according to your will. Father, we think of some of our church family that have continued to struggle with ongoing sickness. We pray that you would touch and restore their bodies according to your will. Some have been sick and able to be with us today. We thank you for it. Now, as we wait on you, help us, Lord, to have our hearts open before you. In your name we pray and thank you. And you may be seated. How is your faith? What's its condition? Is it what we might refer to as shipwrecked, like we find in 1 Timothy 1, 18 to 20? You don't need to turn to it. Let me just read for you. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of some of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Or maybe your faith has been overthrown, like Paul referred to in 2 Timothy 15 through 18, as I read. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun vain or profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Well, you say, I don't think my faith is shipwrecked. I don't think it's been overthrown. Is it steadfast? For instance, in the book of Job, chapter 23, let me read some verses there, beginning in verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, then I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept, and not declining. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And in Job 13:15a, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
How's your faith?
What's the condition of it?
Is it going, gone, or is it growing?
What a wonderful opportunity to consider people of whom it was said, we are bound, which means under obligation, to thank God for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith groweth exceedingly. You say, that sounds familiar. We read that just a couple of moments ago in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Individuals of whom it was spoken, God, the servants of the Lord, were thankful because their faith was growing exceedingly. And the word that Paul used is one which combines two words to mean to increase above ordinary degree. Is that an apt description of your faith? I wish I could say that was the description of mine. But God knows my heart. To say that your faith groweth exceedingly, it increases above ordinary degree. Wow. What was so special about these people at Thessalonica? What kind of people were they? What were their circumstances? They, if their faith was growing exceedingly, it must have been things were pretty easy for them. You don't know anything about the Thessalonians if you think they had an easy time. What were their circumstances? How did that happen? I invite you to follow along with me, and I will give you the chance to find some references now. I want us to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I want us to learn, number one, they understood the cost of following Christ. They understood the cost of following Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, let's look at chapter 2. And we notice in those first 7 verses, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Can I say a word of commendation to the servants of the Lord, Paul, and those that were his companions? They had been shamefully entreated at Philippi. And for many of us, that would be it. We would say, I've had it. Boy, I'm not going to stick my neck out anymore for the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul, writing this, said, after the treatment we got at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention, which means when we came to you in Thessalonica, we hit trouble head on here just as well. We were just as much opposed here as we had been in Philippi. But that did not stop us. It says in verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. There is something else we would say in their benefit. These who were serving the Lord had one goal, and that was to please the Lord, not man. Let's put on hold here for a minute. How many of us, as we go through our daily lives, are more concerned about pleasing God than we are about pleasing the people that we are around? Maybe the ones we work with. Maybe the ones we live next door to. Maybe family workers or family members. But he said, we were allowed of God to be put in trust of the gospel. He said, God gave us this, and he said, our concern wasn't getting approval ratings from people we rubbed shoulders with. Would to God we had that kind of goal more times than we do. Would to God that we weren't more concerned about pleasing men, but instead God who tries our hearts. Verse 5. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Drop your eyes down to verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Period. Wow. Once again, would to God that we could all say that. As we perhaps share with others in relation to our conversation with unsaved friends, family members, whoever it is, that like Paul, to those Thessalonian believers, he said, what? When you heard God's word, you heard it as the word of truth. It was not the word of man. It was the word of God. And because it was the word of God, it effectually worked in each heart of a believer. They understood the cost. Notice in verse 14, for you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. Look at chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Look at verses 5 and 6 of chapter 1 here in 1 Thessalonians. Turn your page back. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, but what goes with it? With the joy of the Holy Ghost. The servants that brought the word of God to them had suffered. And the Thessalonian believers who had listened and had embraced that word, they too had suffered. There were no false pretenses, no peaches and cream expectations in their hearts and minds. They understood, these Thessalonian believers understood exactly what it cost to follow Christ. Do we?
Say, oh yeah, you know, anytime I try to live this word, there's a couple of guys, they always make fun of me. They always laughing at me.
That's suffering. That's persecution. God, in His goodness and His grace, has to this point, August 7th, 2022, spared our country from widespread persecution. Our northern neighbors, Canada, believers are undergoing persecution there. Pastors just across the border, they don't have the freedoms that I have and that we as a people have in this country.
You say, yeah, don't talk to me about persecution. I know all about it, boy. Every time at lunch when I sit there and I pray before I have my lunch, I hear a couple of guys,
that's not persecution. That's not suffering. And so far, we haven't really experienced it, even though time and time again, throughout the New Testament, in the epistles, and time throughout His earthly ministry here before He ascended back to the Father, our Lord and Savior told us that those who identify with His cause and take up the cross and follow Him are going to suffer persecution. Where is it? He said, keep your mouth shut, Pastor. I'm not complaining. Somehow, I kind of think that one of the reasons the church, modern church, Christianity in the United States as a whole is so apathetic toward the things of the Lord, so lukewarm, not hot, not cold, just that pukey, lukewarm temperature, is because we have had it so easy. As we look at this, as we look at these Thessalonians, and Paul reminded, as we saw first of all, they understood completely the cost of following Christ. We saw it in 1 Thessalonians, in three different chapters, numerous references. They hadn't just heard about it. It had come to them. And so as we think about this, they understood exactly what it would cost them to follow Christ, our first point. Our second point, we see, they dedicated themselves to the cause of Christ. They dedicated themselves to the cause of Christ. Some would say, what was the matter with them? Were those people fools? No. They were followers. There's a world of difference between a fool and a follower. And in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, let's notice here how they dedicated themselves to the cause of Christ. Chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. So that, well, I'm going to go back to verse 6. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that, he said, the bottom line is, we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from your idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Their faith, A, was verbal. Is yours? Look at verse 8. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we don't need to talk about you Christians, Paul was saying. Your faith was verbal. From you sounded out. Here's a question. Is that what people say about you? I ask myself, is that what people say about me? But not only, A, was their faith verbal, there was no secrecy or shame, but B, it was visible in verses 7, 9, and 10. You were examples to all that believe in these two areas. They themselves show us what manner of entering we had unto you. They show how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to show what it means to wait for his Son from heaven. As we think about this, we see that there was no mystery. There were no questions about them. People weren't asking themselves, what about these Thessalonian people? What's going on with them? People knew. They were a different group of people. They had changed. Tribulation and suffering had not shut them up. it had fueled the flame. What's a little bit of tribulation do to you and me? So as we think of this, we saw, first of all, they understood the cost of following Christ. And number two, they dedicated themselves to the cause of Christ, so that finally we can turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and see number 3, they endured the consequences of following Christ. They endured the consequences of following Christ. Look at verse 4 of chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians. So that we glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endured. Their faith was not upset by the hardships they endured, but instead, their faith grew at an unusual degree, and their love for everyone abounded. They accepted the hardship as the norm for a follower of Christ. Do you have that frame of mind? I ask myself, is that programmed in the deep recesses of my own thoughts and thinking about what does it truly mean to be a follower of Christ? If I am truly going to be a follower of Christ, and I'm not going to be ashamed to identify myself with Him, I'm not going to be afraid to open up my mouth, I can expect some opposition and hardships. We find that was what they had accepted as the norm for Christians. I hate to say it, but I don't think that's the mentality of so many of us as Christians today. I'm afraid that we kind of just squirm and worm and wiggle and try to figure out how we can soften the blow of the gospel. And not come out so strong. And not be so blunt. As we look at this, we find Paul said, as we go among the other churches in the region there, he said, we glory in you in the churches of God. Every place we go, he said, we glory as we share about you and persecutions and the patience and your faith isn't shriveling. Your faith isn't crawling under a rock. Your faith, it is out there and it is resulting in persecutions and tribulations, and you are enduring them. And he said, we glorify God for you in that. They, we find, understood the cost of following Christ. They had dedicated themselves to the cause of Christ, and they had endured the consequences of following Christ. Let's look at some of those passages of Scripture that perhaps could have given them encouragement, perhaps could give you and me encouragement. And maybe I'm speaking to someone today that is saying, boy, Pastor, this message is, I've needed this one. For instance, John chapter 16, verse 33. I'll give you time to turn. John 16, verse 33. When our Lord was here on earth, He said, let's look at verse 32 and 33. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is, that you shall be scattered, every man to his home, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Of course, we know in verse 32, the Lord was predicting what was going to happen in just the few moments, hours, yet that evening, as the mob was going to come arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what was going to happen? Where was the courage of all of his followers going to be? Out the window, and they scattered. And the Lord said, I know that's what's going to happen to you, but He said, I want to tell you something. He said, you know, it'd be interesting. We might say, you know, Lord, what you were saying in verse 32 is, you were telling the disciples, you're going to blow it then, but I want to tell you what kind of courage you need in verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Man, you're going to blow it here in the garden in the next hour or so. But you need to come to comprehend that the cost of following me is suffering, hardship, tribulation. And you need to prepare yourself for that, because that's what a true follower of Christ experiences. Look at John chapter 15, just back up, in verses 18 through 20. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, you've not chosen me, the Lord said, I have chosen you. And because you are not one of them, I've You're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Earlier, Paul had, in that first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, talked a lot to those believers what to expect as he was reminding them in that second letter. Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul said this in 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 14a. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall, what's your Bible say?
Suffer persecution.
I heard three of you. Some of you know I'm a little afraid to say it. Someone might hear. I don't want to suffer persecution. Well, if you name the name of Christ, it's a part of the package. When we get down to brass tacks, living for the Lord, you say, the pastor, you said at the outset, we have not yet, we don't have suffering really here in this country. Not yet. What if we do? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? He says in verse 13 of 2 Timothy 3, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But, Timothy, Christian, continue thou in the things which you've learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. They understood the cost of following the Lord. They were dedicated to the cause, and they patiently endured the consequences. And you know what happened? Their faith grew exceedingly. Remember in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, their faith grew exceedingly, which means it to increase above ordinary degree. May God help us to follow so close that trouble will not shake our faith. Can I say that again? May God help us to follow so close to Him that trouble will not be able to shake our faith. That's it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these two epistles. I thank you for the example of these followers of Christ, exemplary followers of Christ. They didn't back off when trouble got hard and trials came. but they endured, and they became examples to other believers. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to have a firm desire to follow you no matter what. Lord, you know what's ahead. You know if you're going to delay your return long enough that genuine persecution becomes a part of the way of life for United States Christians. We haven't seen it yet. Multiple nations around the world are experiencing it. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are under the hand of suffering, persecution. Strengthen their faith, Lord. Give them courage. Bless them as they identify themselves with you. But Lord, if it comes our way, oh Lord, help us to look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. May we not jump ship. You see our hearts, you know us, Lord. May your will be accomplished in the heart of each one who has heard this in person this morning, and those that are hearing it out over the internet. Strengthen the hearts and the faith of those that know you, Lord. For your glory we pray. Number 253 in your songbooks.